She's a great lady.
Amen.
She is a grandmother, great-grandmother, wonderful cook, seamstress, author. She speaks 8 languages. And she is amazing. But I'm smarter than she is. I've talked her into marrying me. Praise God. I want to share just a little bit before I get into the Word this morning about a brother by the name of Fred Wantate. Fred was a pastor in Uganda and is a pastor in Uganda. And he came over to be with the Bardens, and Pastor Kevin was sort of his counselor while he was here. He caused him some concerns and all that, to say the least. But Fred was a man of great, great potential, and his wife Sabrina as well. And I had the privilege of traveling with him at one point for 6 weeks. And Fred is about 6'3" tall, black man, wonderful man of God. But everywhere we went, they thought he was an NBA player, national basketball. And they thought I was his manager. So we got special treatment every restaurant we went to. But Fred is what he learned in Pullman and under the ministry of the Bardens and Pastor Kevin, he has taken back to Uganda. He's got a wonderful church. I actually built the original building, and it seated about 600 people. And since then, when my wife's mother passed away and there was an inheritance, she put the inheritance into the building and enlarged the building. And now it seats about 1,800 people. It's full 3 times on Sunday. God is pouring out His Spirit. And Fred is doing a great job. He's a wonderful man of God. And his wife Sabrina as well. Excellent, excellent minister. So, you know, you sow into people's lives and you see the fruit of it coming out later on. And I think that every one of us, we're actually... somebody is watching us. We're sowing into somebody's life in some way. Hopefully it's always the good things that we're sowing. And I was over there last year, had a wonderful time with the brethren. We had 800 pastors together for a week and taught them and ministered to them. And they're wonderful. Here's a 94-year-old man, Johnny Biamungo, who helped me build the church, the original church. He was one of the guys that worked on it. He's now a pastor, and he's 94 years old. And, you know, this morning there were several songs about dancing, dancing, dancing. And I would love to do that. I used to dance all the time, just praise. But, you know, I got bad knees now. That's why I sit down some of the time, because they bother me terribly. But anyway, Johnny, he's 94 years, and there he's right up in front. He's a dancer. I mean, he's going out. But love the Lord with all their heart. It's such dedicated people. They worship the Lord. They just are special. I love them, and we've had a wonderful relationship with them. But as we see their the zeal for the Lord and able to sow into them and over the years. And I went to a new district in Uganda when I was over there. I went to a place called Kigezi. Kigezi people are a little different than some of the other tribes. The Buganda are quite peaceful type of people, but the Kigezi people are more aggressive. I got there and we were going to move there and start the work. And so I started, got a piece of property, and then we got a piece of property to build on. Gerda hadn't been able to join me yet because I didn't have a place to live. And I was living in the home of an East Indian family and eating all of their hot curries and all that kind of stuff, which was okay. And I learned to burp real loud, as they do, to show appreciation for the food and all those things. As I was there, I was going to go to build, and several young people came looking for jobs. Well, this one young man came looking for a job, and he spoke very good English. And I said, you know, I will hire you on one condition, that you will not only work on the building, but you will be my interpreter into the Luchiga language. And he said, well, I've never done it. I said, well, would you be willing to try? I said, yeah. So he's unsaved. We go down to hold the first street meeting down at the market, him and me. and start up and sing a few choruses. And of course, he doesn't know them. I'm singing myself, solo. Solo, nobody can hear me. But no. I'm singing, and then I start to preach, and he starts to interpret for me. Came to the end where a whole bunch of people gathered around. They all gathered around to the marketplace. There's probably, 50, 60 people there. And I gave an altar call. Anybody like to accept Jesus? He left my side, walked around, stood in front. Was my first convert. Amen. Now, that's the wonderful part of it. And a few years later, he was martyred for the cause of the gospel. But his brother, he was pastor of the church. And his brother now is the pastor of the church, Benin. And Benin lived in our home with us for 2 years, raised with our kids. And we had so God, the work of the Lord is going on. And when you see with the results, you just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for letting me be a part of it. I mean, can you imagine what heaven's going to be when we get together? We've been comparing. We know a lot of the same people. We've been talking about this one and that one, this pastor, this one. Oh, and some I hadn't even thought of for years. But in heaven, we're going to be together, and we're all going to be there. Hallelujah. What a reunion that's going to be. What a great time it's going to be. So we're so thankful, and thank you for your prayers. We appreciate your continued prayers on our behalf for health and strength. And I've got some good things to share with you relative to that this morning. My book, Been There, Done That, is available at the back. And it's normally $15.95, and you can have it for $10 if you'd like one of them. I promise you, it's good reading. It's my confessional. You might look and think all preachers are just, saints and angels. I don't happen to be one of those. I'm a saint, but not an angel. But you will be surprised at some of the things that happen. But it's amazing how God has intervened in circumstances where, I was at the conference, and one of the brethren got one of these books, a friend of mine, a pastor. He said to me, I stayed up half the night reading that book. And he said, do you realize how many times God spared your life? I said, yeah, I sure do. I was there, been there, done that. So the last part of the book says, well, what about the future? And the last thing I say is, haven't been there nor done that yet. So no. But trust in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we are so grateful to you. We're glad to be in the house of the Lord. It's a joyful experience, an exciting experience. It's precious to have fellowship one with another, and that you knit our hearts together in the bonds of Christian love. We thank you for the work you're doing around the world. Thank you for the powers of darkness that are being broken. Thank you, Lord, that your name will be glorified, and we will trample the enemy underfoot, and we will rise above every circumstance and situation, and your name will be glorified, Lord, and people will see Jesus in us, and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that your word will bear forth fruit in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm 80 years old, but I'm using an iPad. I decided not to be antiquated in some things anyway. But God is good. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about something that's very special to us. Especially this last year, although this year is good too. Last year was exceptional. I want to tell you to start with a story of a Jewish young boy. He worked with his dad in the fields and in Israel, and they had a plot of land, quite a large, not enormous size, but a larger plot of land. They weren't able to cultivate the whole thing, and he worked with his dad for a number of years there, and just him and his dad working the land, cultivating, and they were doing it with a grub hoe, just a simple grub hoe. And they had some good results. Things were going good. But the father eventually, he passed away. And the young man got married and he had two sons. And one day he decided, we're not using the whole land, and we could grow a lot more and do better. But in order to do that, he had to go and take a loan, and he got a loan for his oxen, because he knew that he couldn't do it by the grub hoe. He had to use an oxen and a plow. So he spent the money on the oxen, and and borrowed the money, and then he had to, of course, have food, feed for the oxen. And then because it was a larger plot of land, he also had to buy seed. So he was getting into debt, but, you know, figuring, well, the end of the year, everything wonderful, I'll pay it all off, we'll have a great crop. And the first year, it was drought. No, there was no rain. I mean, it was absolute total failure. So he's just so broken over this thing. And then he says, well, another year. So he had to go borrow more money to feed the oxen, more money for grain, more money for his own living because he didn't have it. And the second year, he sowed with expectancy. And another year of total crop failure. Well, this happened 3 years in a row. And now he's up to his ears in debt. And the collectors came to collect their money. He couldn't pay them. So the custom was that they then would take over the property, and he and his sons, two sons and his wife, would become slaves to them, that they would have to serve in servitude and work for them. They kicked them out of the larger house they had and put them in the little shack, and they were living there. And this man was so remorseful. Oh, why did I ever get into debt? Why did I ever, sometimes you wish you could undo things, don't you? I caught my finger, my thumb in a winch one time, and I wished I could turn the clock back 1 second. You know, it broke it. It's only a miracle that I even have it today. But you just wish you could, and he wished he could turn the clock back and start over. You can't do that. So anyway, he was in this remorseful condition for a number of years, and he was there just moping. Oh man, I got to go work, working for them. The sons were working for these people. But one night he's in bed. And he all of a sudden jumps out of bed, leaps out of bed, shouting, dancing, singing, clapping. I thought, are you crazy? I said, what happened? He said, didn't you hear it? Didn't you hear what? Didn't you hear the ram's horn? Didn't you hear that this is the Day of Atonement? Didn't you hear that this is the beginning of Jubilee? And you know, in that one moment, everything changed. Everything changed. Leviticus 25, 9 and 10 says, then you shall sound aloud the trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. And you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. It shall return every man to his possession. And he shall return every man unto his family. In other words, debts were all canceled. Wouldn't you love to have a jubilee? Cancel everything, you know. But and it was just an amazing thing. So he was able to go back to the house. The people he owed debt to, he didn't owe debt to anymore. He was forgiven. That was all gone because it was the 50 years. And at that 50 years, everything began anew. It was all brand new again. But you know, really, that's the story of our lives in Jesus. We were bound and shackled in sin. We were devastated. We had trouble. We had difficulties. We didn't know where to go. And then Jesus came into our life. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all of a sudden, the trumpet sounded. And you and I are free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Excuse me if I get excited, but it happened to me. So, you know, it talks about the Day of Atonement. That's interesting because the Day of Atonement, there was a word, big word, you probably heard it before, propitiation. The word propitiation. And in the Old Testament, it means one thing, but in the New Testament, it means another. In the Old Testament, it means that the blood of the animal that was sacrificed covered your sin. How many want their sin covered? Well, I that isn't what I really want. I want the New Testament because propitiation in the New Testament is your sins are taken away by a third party. and it brings us to atonement, at one with God. And in the Old Testament, you know, the Bible, in Bible school, we tell them that the students this, the new is in the old contained, like the New Testament is in the old contained, the old is in the new explained, and we understand it. And so the propitiation, the blood sacrifice. I was on the boat coming home from Africa, my wife, and we were on a cruise ship. It was the cheapest fare. It was cheaper than the airplane to come back because they had extra cabins, and they gave missionaries special concessions. So we're on this boat. Of course, they knew that I was a pastor, and they asked me if I would be the chaplain on the ship. So we're going along, and Sunday, Easter's coming up. And so on the Friday, I went to the service with the center, with the Jewish people on board. There's about 200 Jewish people on board. And I went there and heard them talk about the lamb and the bones of the lamb and how the blood covered and all of these things. And it was very interesting, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Well, because I went there, they came to my service on Easter Sunday morning. So I, of course, had the wonderful privilege of talking, explaining to them how the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And, you know, from there on, I'd sit on the deck and I never had, was never by myself. You could never, they'd sidle up to me. In fact, even years later, there's a couple of them that we were able to point them to Jewish Christian churches where they could go and God met them. And, but it was wonderful to, because, boy, there's something more than covering. This is taking away. I'm free. Whom the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. Now, I want to talk to you about three different aspects here: principle, prophecy, and the person. Now, the principle, talking about the propitiation, there's a principle through the word, and you find it in this Leviticus, the 25th chapter. And you shall hallow the 50th year, 10th verse, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee to you, and ye shall return every man to his family. A jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you, and ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, or gather the grapes in it, of the vine undressed. A year of rest. It was a year of rest and recovery. How many would like a year of rest? Yeah. Oh, Lord, give me rest. And it says in the 12th verse, it is Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you, and ye shall eat the increase out of the field. And in the year of Jubilee, ye shall return every man to his possessions. Wherefore, ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year and eat yet of the old fruit until the 9th year, until her fruits come in, and ye shall eat of the old store. It was a wonderful time of rest. They didn't have to go and work all the time. There was provision for them in it. And I'm glad that in Jubilee that we have that. God makes provision for us, just supernatural provision. I can tell you, my book will tell you a number of places where supernatural provision has come in, how God has ministered in that way. And then it was another time of total restoration. Everything went back to zero, you know, playing some games, pass everything else and go back to goal. You'd start all over again. Clean sheet. Everything's good. And this year of Jubilee, the Israelites who had sold themselves to slavery, which was a customary thing to do if they needed money. They actually became slaves, and this young man was that way. And boy, they were set free. They're done. That's it. Debt gone. Problems resolved quickly. And it was a fantastic thing for them. And that this way, why? That there, no Israelite would ever remain in slavery forever, nor would they lose their things. 50th usually only came once in the lifetime of a person. It was possible for it to happen, the Jubilee, twice, but usually it was only once. And it was a year of rest. And so we see the principle in the Leviticus about the principle is the basic foundational truth of this, the foundation of liberation and freedom and forgiveness and all these things in the principle that we find in Leviticus 25. Well, then, the next one is a prophecy. And if we go to Isaiah 61, and it says there, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. How many of you can say that? Yes. Can you say that? Yes. The Spirit of the Lord God is... Come on, let's do it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Why? To toot the whistle? No. To do something in the kingdom of God. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. You know, the Lord, Can you imagine if they had a newspaper that only had good tidings in it?
You wouldn't have a newspaper.
That's it. And under the meat, and he sent me to bind the brokenhearted. Now, how many brokenhearted people are there? And there, you know, this is a prophetic word about the same things talking about in Leviticus, Jubilee, because when Jesus comes in, things change, and you and I, then we don't only have something that we have received, we have something to give. My dad used to say, you can't sell from an empty wagon. But if you've got the goods, you've got something to impart to somebody else. They can receive. And so he says, he has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. We have a message that the world is dying to hear and don't even realize it.
That's right.
And sometimes we don't herald it loud and long enough. We don't share enough of it. And I really was challenging the men yesterday. You know, we need to get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going hunting today. Who can I find that needs something? Yeah. And you'll find needy people. You'll find them broken. You'll find disenfranchised. You'll find discouraged. You'll find people with family problems or money problems. Jump in. Jump in. The water's fine. And share what Jesus has done. The Hebrew word, the phrase restoration, proclaim liberty, translated in Isaiah, is the same word as Leviticus. It's the same exact word, which means cancellation of debts and rehabilitation of poor people. And then he talks about, and I'm going to do some emphasis on this a little later on, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor. The day of the vengeance of our Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Now, there is both the side of the one, the law and grace, and those are there. But to proclaim the favor, the year of the Lord's favor. I believe God wants to favor his people. I want to believe that with all my heart. I know that he's favoring you with good ministry here. And I know he's favoring Kevin and
Sherry.
with good things. Amen. And then spiritual restoration. It says to point unto them that mourn in Zion. Mourn in Zion? I thought Zion was supposed to be a place of joy.
Yeah, amen.
But you know, even in Zion, there's situations. I don't know if you've ever heard that song, I've put on my garment of praise, I've put on my garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness has gone from me. I put on my garment of praise. That was done by written by a woman, friend of ours, Roberta Crane. Her and Stanley, her husband, were pastors of Evangelistic Center Church in Kansas City. He preached on the Sunday morning and didn't feel well. Went and sat down on the seat and went to be with Jesus. And on the Wednesday, there she was. She loved to sing and play. And as she was sitting there in sorrow, and God gave her that chorus and just brought a release to her, a powerful release, you know. So point out in them the mourn in Zion, to give them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, the spirit of heaviness, but you got to put it on.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we're the ones that need to go around, and we're not going to make a scene of it, but throughout the day, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I don't know about you, if you men are romantic, but I'm kind of a romanticist. And so, I don't know how many times a day I tell my wife, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And, of course, I've been doing this for 61 years. And I do the same thing with Jesus. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I really do. And I sense that something, I love you too. Hey, that feels good. I like that. I like that. I like that. And it says, and you're going to build the old waste places. You'll raise up the former desolations and repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Children, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and your sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord.
Yes.
Men of call shall call you the ministers of our God. He shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Hallelujah. Promises of God that are yea and amen to those who don't believe.
No.
To to those who believe. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. And then he talks about the double portion. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make them everlasting. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. Boy, I could, double portion. I love double portion. I love double portion. You know, one of my favorite things is ice cream. I love ice cream. And, you know, you go to the ice cream parlor, you know, where they sell cones and that. And these young ladies and young men that are there, they have a habit of a very stupid question. Would you like a double or a single? Who would not want double? But you see, I go with my wife and she's the ice cream police. Would you like a double or single? Single, she says, before I can get a word out. Single. But sometimes I go there by myself. But her spirit goes with me. Single. But in God, I can have double portion of everything. Hallelujah. Why settle for single when you can have the double? Amen. And so the word talks about us having a double portion. And then there's the promises of God. I will greatly rejoice. In verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he will clothe me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. And as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And then it goes on in verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth a bud, and the garden causeth things that are sown into spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Right. And so here's this jubilee in a prophetic format. God prophesying liberty, restoration, blessing, and all that. Then we come to the next one in Luke, the fourth chapter, the person of restoration. And of course, you know who that is. Jesus. Jesus. And it says in Luke 4:17, Jesus was there in the temple himself. And they asked him to read. Now, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have an iPad. They didn't have a computer. They had a scroll. They dug the scroll out, handed it to him, the book of Isaiah. And Jesus himself took this very chapter, 61, and he began to read it. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Verse 19 and 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Because he was the fulfillment of that. There's the principle, the prophecy, and he is the fulfillment of that. You got him, you got it.
That's right.
You don't have him, you don't have it. And I want it, so I want him. But I want him not just to get it, but because he is worthy of everything that I have, am, and whatever will be. Amen. And so Jesus is our jubilee. You know, I think it's time. Let the trumpet sound. Hallelujah. Let the trumpet. Sometimes it needs to sound in our lives, though. You know, it's nice to have it in theory in the book and the Bible and all that. But it's another thing. There are three phrases or things that are stated in the Bible that are rather interesting. One is mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve.
That's right.
We all deserve to be zapped,
that's
killed,
right,
slaughtered.
Right.
We're all guilty of sin. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Grace is the other, another one. And grace is unmerited favor of God. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy, God not giving us what we deserve. Grace giving us what we don't deserve. And then there's favor, the favor of the Lord. And this year, the favor of the Lord, breakthrough and enlargement, this is part of this special jubilee. And it's a new day. It's a new beginning, a new perspective, new provision, new understanding. I love favor. I like to be favored. I know you don't, but then. I had a, in our yard in Texas, we have a house and office in Texas. We're only there about 30 days out of the year because somebody says, where do you live? Well, wherever my hat is hung, that's where I am, my sombrero. I mean, anyway, we have this papaya trees there, and we've had just loads of papayas. And I discovered that one of the guys at American Airlines, he liked papaya. So I took him papaya. Well, the next time I come in, and, Mr. Brown, so nice to see you. I got a seat in first class for you. Thank you. I like that. First class is better than riding in the caboose. Favor to proclaim acceptable in Isaiah 61 and 2, the acceptable and the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. And so I say unto you, this day is it's fulfilled in your ears. Favor in the Old Testament means grace, charm, acceptance, and goodwill. Or desire. But in the New Testament, favor is the Greek word charis. Favor is different from grace, although it comes from the same root. Grace is undeserved, unmerited. But you know, favor, there are two kinds of favor. There's the unmerited favor, where God gives us what we don't deserve, and he gives us favor. But did you know that there's earned favor? Unmerited favor is what that is all about. But there's favor. If you want extra blessing, extra things to happen in your life, and I'll show you from the scripture how it works. The Bible is full of instruction on how we can have the favor of the Lord. Let me use a case in point. I'd overstayed my visa in Mexico one time, and one of our students from Honduras, he came and he had overstayed his. So we had to go to the border, and we go to the border, you know, what's going to happen there? And when we got to the border and presented our visas there, this guy that was there was a lion. He was going to eat both of us. He was ready to throw us in prison. He was nasty, ugly. And at that moment, a scripture came to my mind. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I said, Lord, I can remember recently three different cases where I have been merciful. And now I'm asking for mercy. I need help.
You bet, sure.
And at that moment, he says to me, do you have a lawyer? I said, yes, we do. What's his name? Dr. Lorenzo De Anda De Anda. Dr. Lorenzo De Anda De Anda. He's my friend. We went to school together. The whole thing changed like that. He helped us get our papers. He took everything was taken care of, you know. Favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, it was, wow. You can't believe the change just with the mention of this man's name. And he said, how's Dr. Anda? So we just got favor right away. That was good. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You want to get mercy? Then be merciful. If we live in the favor of the Lord through prayer, faith, obedience, and perseverance, and divine influence upon our heart, and all these things, we're going to be governed by the power of God and the divine grace of God. It was funny. John, our grandson, and his wife and three children were in Cuernavaca working with us for 7 years. We had to pull them out because of the danger of the children being taken and held hostage for millions of dollars. And so they're up in Canada, associate pastors in church there now. But before they left, Caleb one day, he was having trouble breathing. And John calls me on my cell phone and says, Grandpa, will you please pray? Caleb's having trouble breathing. We're on the way to the hospital, the emergency right now. I said, sure. So I started to pray right away. They get to the hospital, and John goes in to the hospital with the little guy who was having a struggle with his breathing. They eventually found out that he swallowed a crayon and sort of aspirated it a bit, but they got it out okay. But while they're there, Stacy, the mother, and Sadie, the little girl about 4 years old, are sitting in the waiting room. And Stacy, his mother, says to Sadie, "Sadie, are you praying for Caleb?" She said, "No, I am not." "Why aren't you praying for Caleb?" She said, "Everybody's praying for Caleb. I'm praying for me that nothing bad will happen to me." Favor is the special affection of God. This is what Lance Wallenden says. Favor is the special affection of God toward you that releases an influence on you so that others are inclined to like you or to cooperate with you.
Wow.
I'm praying that for you relative to your property.
Amen.
You will have a favor that you can do whatever you feel God has put in your heart to do. Talking about the favor. When we were in Mexico, we decided, you know, we better, because there were some political problems then, and thought we may have to flee in a hurry, so let's buy a little house on the border in McAllen, Texas. So I bought this house with almost nothing down and just paid just a very limited amount, but rented it out so that it would cover the cost of the house And so I didn't want to mess with it myself, so I took it in to a Christian fellow, Bienes Raices, real estate, yeah. And I took it to him, and so one day I'm in there to see him about it. I sit in the office, and in walks this guy, smoking a pipe, sits down beside me in gruff voice, and, "Who are you?" I said, "My name is Bill Brown." He says, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a missionary. I was a missionary 11 years in Africa, and now I've been, at that time, 30-some-odd years in Mexico." "Oh," he said, "I want to help you." "Wonderful. Thank you." Thought he might open his wallet and hand me $10 or $15 or $50 or $40 or whatever, and $100. And, no, he said, "I came in here today to list 8 apartments, 4 duplexes. I'm not going to list them. I'm going to give them to you."
Whoa.
And I kid you not, he signed them over to me and paid the transfer fees.
My goodness.
He gave them to me. Now, there was still debt on them, but the rent paid it. And eventually, I sold those, took half the money and put it into the Bible school in Mexico. The other half, we reinvested. And you know, in Africa, we had very little. We lived, if I hadn't shot animals, elephant, topi, cob, waterbuck, reedbuck, bushbuck, eland, zebra, warthog, we would have starved,
wow.
Really. And our missionaries would have been. But anyway, we got so little money. But you know something? God paid us our paycheck all in one day.
Hallelujah.
Eventually, we had the opportunity of leading that man to the Lord. It's so amazing how God can make provision in somebody. The favor of the Lord. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range through the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." That's Second Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And then Second Chronicles, another translation, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. Or the eyes of the Lord are run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show the favor of His power to those whose heart is perfect toward Him." And you know, we talk about the eyes of the Lord. You can't do anything He doesn't see. Now that can seem threatening, or it can seem like, you know, I'm always in His mind.
Yes, amen.
He's watching over me. And how many times we have seen how God has watched over us.
Yeah.
You know, it talks about showing favor. Proverbs 8 and 35. "For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." You want favor?
Amen.
Find the Lord. "A good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a wicked man wicked devices will be condemned. Then it says, this is especially for the ones getting married soon. Yeah. "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing."
Amen.
Doesn't say what she finds, but that's... But it says, "and obtains favor of the Lord." That's the important part. Job 10 and 12. "Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." And Psalm 5 and 12. "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield."
Amen.
Favor, 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 favor. Favor will open doors for you. God's favor towards us in manifesting, in giving us power. A power to resist temptation. Power to protection. Power for direction. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power of faith. Power to get wealth. Power to love with God's kind of love. All these powers are given to us. 2013 was a year of notoriety in the life of my wife and I. Gerda had interstitial cystitis, bladder that bled all the time, just horrible condition. The doctors, they actually injected Botox into the bladder to try to help, and that did some, but it didn't cure her at all. She was in agony for 11 years. In fact, there were some of the times we were going to come here, and she could not travel. I had to stay with her. I missed some conferences because of it. And we were in Acapulco, ministering in that area, in a hotel. And she was laying in bed, and she was crying. The pain was so intense. And a little maid came in, and she said, "What are you crying for?" "Oh," she said, I'm in agony. What's your problem?" So she told her. And she said to her, "You know, my mother, she was going to have a kidney operation and bladder operation and all this. And somebody gave her some Aztec tea." And she said, "Since she took that, she has had no problem whatsoever." She says, "I'll bring some tomorrow to you." And she did. And I'm telling you, between God, the doctor, and Aztec tea, she was totally healed. There's no more pain. I used to have to, she couldn't go 15 minutes driving in the car. We even took towels with us in the car so I could stand. If there wasn't any place, I'd stand around, hold a towel while she went to the bathroom. I mean, it was that bad. But she wouldn't give up. We still went all over Mexico. We know every service station that had a bathroom in all of Mexico, I'm sure. But what a joy. I tell people, I got the same wife, but a different woman. Favor. Oh. And then God dumped on us financial blessings as well and all these things. You know, it was a year of Jubilee. And we're still benefiting from that. And you know something? All of you can have a year of Jubilee too. Amen. Some of you, maybe you feel, "Well, I've had the year of Jubilee." Others will say, "Well, I sure could do it, Pat." Well, I just want you to know that God's able to do it for you. And don't give up. Don't let down. Don't say, "Okay." Just give time and let God work. There's no good thing He will withhold from those who walk uprightly.
That's right.
There's no good thing. Now, I don't understand God. I don't understand Him. But I love Him. And I trust Him. Case in point, why don't I understand Him? Well, here's three situations. Peter is in prison. Paul and Silas are in prison. And John the Baptist is in prison. An angel comes and delivers Peter. An earthquake comes and delivers Paul and Silas. And John the Baptist gets his head cut off. Yeah. I don't understand them. Could God not have taken Herod and mentioned he was eating the worms and died? He could have eaten the worms earlier and died. I don't understand, but I do know one thing. God is good, like you're saying, all the time. And we trust Him. And so there's 10 blessings that come with God's favor. It produces supernatural promotion and increase. Brings restoration of everything the enemy has stolen from you. Brings honor in the midst of adversity. Produces increased assets. Gives great and unusual victories when against all possible odds. Gives recognition and promotion even when you seem to least likely one to receive it. Produce prominence and preferential treatment, favor and kindness from those around you. Get petitions granted even by ungodly civil authorities, and we've seen that many times. God has touched their hearts for whatever reason. They've opened doors of opportunity, changed rules and regulations, even laws if necessary, to your advantage. We know this situation in Mexico where at our Bible school, they went up to have a prayer meeting on a hill overlooking the whole city of Mexico. It was right up, way up Mexico's mountains around. They went up on there. And they didn't know. They went up to this village, and the village happened to be their saint's day. And the village took exception to this, and they thought they were desecrating their virgin and their special saint's day. And they came after them with pangas and machetes and clubs, and they beat some of them up. And they literally fled down the mountain. Well, somebody knew it was going to happen, so called the police. 20 police cars came. They were all stoned. The windows were broken out of all of the police cars. And the buses that they had come up in were all totally destroyed. It was a big thing. In the papers, newspaper, front page. And the president, he called the head of the Bible school, our Bible school, and said, "Will you come? I'd like to meet with you." And he felt of the Lord, "Don't go alone." So he took 400 other pastors from Mexico City to meet with him. So they could see that there was a large contingent of evangelical, spirit-filled Christians. And when he was meeting with them, God touched his heart in such a way that the laws of Mexico were changed from the Church of Mexico, which was the Catholic Church, to the Churches of Mexico. And we have same status with government now as the Catholic Church has. All because of that incident of what happened. Favor. It happens in many different ways. Win battles you did not even have to fight because God will fight them for you. Hallelujah. I think we need to make a declaration. Today I am favored in your sight, pregnant with my blessings, benefits, and breakthroughs.
Amen.
Because Jesus is with us.
Amen.
Jubilee.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Father, today I pray that your people will come into a jubilee, those that have got circumstances, situations, difficulties, negative things, family problems, financial difficulties, whatever they may be. Father, you're able to do exceeding, exceeding and abundant above all that we can ask or think. And we claim the promises of God that are yea and amen to them that believe. Lord, we pray if we lack faith that you will help our unbelief and that we will grow in faith to trust you. Thank you for Jubilee. Thank you that you are our Jubilee. I got you.
Yes.
I got Jubilee.
Oh, yes.
And in Jubilee, there's liberty, peace, joy, blessing, restoration. There is the taking away of all my sin and all my guilt and everything else. And I can just trust you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I'll give you the book at $10 if you want one of them. So they're out there.
Great book. I urge you to get it. There's several materials back there. And say with me, I receive the blessing, the favor, the honor, the provision of God. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And he said his comment about, I don't know what she gets. She leaned over, she says, I got a singing cowboy with no horse. And no hat, and no hat. There you go. Got my boots, got my shirt. I'm all right. What a joy to have you guys with us. Did you enjoy that, church? Wasn't that great? We honor you and bless you in the name of the Lord. Extend your hands toward our brother and sister. Father, we thank you for Brother Bill and Sister Gerda. We bless them now in your powerful name. And Lord, we send them out, back home to Mexico and around the places of the earth as they continue to minister. Lord, we thank you for their favor, and we thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that they are absolutely sold out to you and have been all their days. And Father, we ask you to continue to give great fruit, great anointing, great open doors. We believe you, O God, for strength and healing, body, soul, and spirit. Strength and healing, body, soul, and spirit. as we send them out in the name of Jesus with double honor blessing in Jesus' name. And, oh, God, the opportunity to have two scoops of ice cream and no effect in his body. Amen. Amen. God is good. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, this is your day to do so. If you're here this morning and you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or you've not received a free release in speaking in tongues, the Lord wants to favor you in such a way. I know that Brother Bill and Gerda will be honored to pray for you. We'll be having several people who are able to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, we urge you, come receive the presence of God and the favor of God as He heals and He moves. Would you stand with me, church? It's been a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Isn't God good? God is good. And all the time, God is good. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, Lord, we strengthen Your people and we thank You for the privilege of being in Your presence and in Your house today. We thank You for Your word engrafted into our souls. As we go from this place, we know, O God, that You've quickened us by Your Spirit. Yes. And Lord, we go out transformed, changed in the presence of Jesus, changed by the word of God. And we thank You for the liberty that we have to worship You in this place. In Jesus' name. And they all said,